I'm going to talk about a very, very painful topic, but unfortunately it's a very practical topic, and it keeps on coming up, unfortunately, in different contexts. And that is the topic of how we relate to Torah from a rabbi who has done bad things. Now, that unfortunately does happen from time to time. We should always keep in mind that the ruba deruba of people are fundamentally good, and ruba deruba of rabbanim, Baruch Hashem, are fundamentally good and do not stumble in horrible things. But from time to time, and unfortunately it seems not so infrequently, we hear about rabbanim chashuvim, who people who we thought were rabbanim chashuvim do bad things. And how do we relate to the Torah we have heard from them? How do we relate to learning from them in the future? How do we relate to their svarim? So first of all, just to frame the discussion a little bit, a couple of points. There may be different types of bad, meaning bad can be defined, certainly we've seen in recent times, rabbis who were predatory, committing crimes against children, which obviously is a certain type of evil that's very, very dangerous. We have people who just have given in to their yetzer hara, whether it be a normal yetzer hara, but that they've given into for women, for money, different things like that. We've had people who have just been exposed as balei midos ra'os, people who are balei gaiva, who are liars, who are shakranim, make up stories and things like that, and are exposed for those terrible midos. And then, of course, you have people who have ideas that may be apikorsis, that may be against Jewish traditional beliefs. So are any of those different from each other? Do they all have the same halacha in terms of how we relate to the Torah knowledge? Meaning, one might argue that the Torah knowledge of, let's say, a guy who has given into his Yetzer Hara for money may not be as tainted as the Torah knowledge of an apikores, because apikores is fundamental to the whole belief system. So let's see what the halachas say about that. Another issue to frame the discussion is whether learning in person has the same status as learning from a sefer. Let's say a person was a Mechaber Svarim, and he wrote very beautiful Svarim, or what we thought were very beautiful Svarim, and now the person is exposed to be this terrible person without doing any of the above that we described. So should we stop learning his Sefer? Does it possible the Sefer that we've had on the shelves all this time? Or do we say, no, we're not going to go to a shir that he gives, but to stop learning his Sefer maybe is a different issue. A third issue that we should keep in mind when we have this discussion is how do we relate to things that we've heard from such a person in the past? If the person was, let's say, this happened a couple of years ago, a prominent Rosh Yeshiva who taught a lot of Torah to a lot of Talmidim in their primary growth years of learning Torah. So should they try to forget all the Torah that they learned from this Rosh Yeshiva? If a person was a Rav in a community and gave Piskei Halacha to many people, trained younger Rabbanim in how to paskin certain Halachas, should you forget all of the Torah that the person learned from this person? Should we ignore everything that was ever given to us in the past? I've had people ask me recently, someone took chassam classes by a person who was then later exposed as being someone who has done some pretty terrible things. So should he have to take chassam classes again, learn all of Hilchas Nida again, because he should make the assumption that everything that he learned was incorrect or at least unreliable? And also, is Psak Halacha different than Divrei Torah? Let's say Rosh Yeshiva, who said beautiful, beautiful Divrei Torah, had beautiful Ma'arachos on the Parsha, but then was exposed for being a predator, for doing things that were very, very terrible. So is that different than a Psak Halacha? Or do we say, you know what, the Torah is beautiful Divrei Torah, so you just don't quote who you heard it from, but it's different, maybe different than a Psak Halacha. So these are the things to keep in mind as we go through this sugya. I doubt I'm going to be able to keep this to 10 minutes, but I thought it was unfortunately a very, very practical topic that we have to discuss. The Gemara in Maseches Moed Katan is probably the primary sugya. Moed Katan Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, if there's a rabbi who has a bad reputation, so the Gemara is discussing, should they put the person in Cherem or not? And the Gemara Moed Katan discusses Shamta and Cherem and Nidui, the different types of Cherem that they would put somebody in. So can you put a big Talmud Chacham in Cherem? So they said, the Shamta, what should we do? Should we put him in Cherem? But Tzrichi LeRabbanan, he's such a big Talmud Chacham, everyone needs him, we rely on his Shiurim. So Lo LeShamta, Kamischil Shema Dishmaya. Should we not put him in Chayrim? He's a walking Chil Hashem. How can we not put him in Chayrim? So Amalei Rabbi Bar Bechana Midi Shmiel Achbas. Rabbi Bar Bechana says, "No, did we hear anything about this? What do you do in this situation?" Amalei Hachiyam Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said as follows: May Dichsiv Ki Siv Se Koyin Yishmeru Das V'Tori Yevakshu Mipihu Ki Malach Hashem Tzvakos Hu. What is? How do we touch up that pasuk? Im Doma Harav LeMalach Hashem Tzvakos Yevakshu Torah Mipiv. If the Rebbe is like a Malach Hashem, then you should seek Torah from such a Rebbe. V'imlav al yevakshu Torah mipiv. If the Rebbe is not like a Malach Hashem, you don't want to seek Torah from such a Rebbe. Shamte Rabbi Yehuda right away said, okay, good, so we're putting him in Chayrim. Because it doesn't matter that Rabbim Tzrichim Lo, that people need him, and that he was a posek for this organization or that organization, how great he became in a community or whatever, it's irrelevant how big a Rosh Yeshiva he was, how important a Dayan or whatever, it makes no difference. It's irrelevant whether Rabbim Tzrichim Lo or not. He's a walking Chil Hashem. You put such a person in a cherim. Good. That's and you're not mevakish Torah mipiv. That's the Gemara Maseches Moed Katan. The problem is that there is a Gemara in Maseches Chagiga, a very long sugya, Maseches Chagiga, that discusses the four people that were nichnasu lepardes. It says Arba nichnasu lepardes. The Gemara Chagiga daf Yud Dalad Amid Beis, and one of the four that was nichnas lepardes, that got to see sort of what's going on up in Shemayim a little bit, was someone who was called Elisha ben Avuya. But after he came out of the pardes, they called him Acher. Why did they call him Acher? Because when people were talking to him and they thought this guy looks a lot like Elisha ben Avuya, but they saw that he was being Mechal Shabbos, they said, Acher hu, he's a different person, it must not be Elisha ben Avuya, because Elisha ben Avuya was a Hilagatana. How could it be that this person, but he went, he heard things that he shouldn't have heard maybe, and he went out of his mind, and he decided to no longer observe Torah and mitzvos. So the Gemara tells us about a Maisa ba'Acher, Shoyerochiv al-Sus, on the bottom it says, Vav Amar Alef in Chagiga, that Acher was riding on a horse, b'Shabbos, v'yer Rabbi Meir Mahalech Acher of Lilmod Torah Mipiv. And Rameir was following behind him as Acher was riding on a horse on Shabbos. And Rameir was sitting and listening to Acher's shir. Can you imagine such a thing? He's being Machal Shabbos, he's riding on a horse on Shabbos, and he's saying shir to Rabbi Meir. Amar lo, Meir, chazol acharecha. And at a certain point, Acher turns to Rameir and says, Meir, turn around. You have to go back. Shekvar shiarti bikvei susi ad kan tchum Shabbos. Because I've been counting out the steps of my horse that we have just reached the tchum Shabbos. So you're not allowed a step any further. I'm going to keep on riding, but you have to go back because we've reached the Tchum Shabbos. Amalei Afatocha Zorbach. So Rameir says, he viewed it as an opportunity. He said, maybe you also could be Chozer. Maybe you come back with me. So Amalei V'lo Kvar Amarti Lach Kvar Shemati Me'achori Apargod Shuvu Barim Shov Vim Chutz Me'acher. Nah, it's too late for me. I'm a lost cause. I already heard Me'achori Apargod that I'm a lost cause. So the Gemara goes on to ask, Rabbi Meir, Heichi Gamar Torah Mipume Da Acher. How is Rabbi Meir allowed to learn Torah from Acher? What about that Gemara Moed Katan that only if a Rav is Dama Lamal Hashem Tzavakos can you be Mavakish Torah Mipiv? So answers the Gemara, Rabbi Meir Kro Ashkach V'Darash. Rabbi Meir found a pasuk to Darshin to teach that he was allowed to learn Torah from Acher. Hataz Chashma Divrei Chachamim V'Lib Chatoshes L'dayti L'datam Lo Ne'emar L'dayti Rabbi Chanina Meracha Shemi Bas that there's a stira in two psukim whether you are or are not allowed to learn from someone who is not an appropriate person that you would think you should learn from. So the answer is habagadol habakatan. It depends who you are. It depends who the Talmud is. If the Talmud is a gadol, then he's allowed to learn from someone like Acher. If the Talmud is a Rebbe Meir, he's allowed to learn from someone like Acher. The assumption is that he's going to take the valuable Torah and he'll throw away whatever is he'll throw away the klipa, he'll throw away the shell, whatever is he should not be taking in from the Rebbe. But if a person is a katan, a person is not a gadol, he's not Rebbe Meir, so you shouldn't learn Torah from such a person. So it seemed based on that Gemara and Chagiga, so it's pretty clear cut what the halacha should be, that if a person is a gadol, so no problem, then you can use all these svarim and you can learn Torah from all these people because you'll know what to take in and what not to take in. You'll know what to accept and what not to accept. But if a person is a katan, then he's not going to know what to accept, what not to accept. The problem is Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Mem Vav Si'iv Ches in Yaradeh. Shulchan Aruch writes, Harav she'in aholich b'derech tova. If you have a rabbi that doesn't go b'derech tova and doesn't elaborate any more than that, just as ein aholich b'derech tova, even the way the Gemara expressed it, Sunny Shumane has a bad reputation. It means that obviously you can't just say anyone who ever does an avera, because everybody does averos. There's no one that never did averos. Gemara has a list, a very very short list of people who never did averos, but most people do averos. So we're not talking about someone who doesn't. I once heard that he spoke lashon hara or whatever. That's lashon hara to believe it. But and I once saw that he spoke lashon hara, that he did something that was slightly wrong. Now Sunny Shumane means he does something that causes everyone to talk about him as that he's a lowlife, that everyone says that this person is not a good person, that you can, you know, everyone disrespects the person because of what he did. It's what he did was somewhat scandalous. So that's probably what Shulchan Aruch means also when he says when someone goes b'derech lo to holich she'eno holich b'derech tova. Even though he's a great chacham and everybody needs him, we are not allowed to learn from such a person until he does tshuva, until he's chozer lemutav. And how to judge that is a whole separate issue. How to judge someone who's chozer lemutav. But that's what Shulchan Aruch says. Asks the Shach, the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, none of them are mechalik between a katan and a gadol who's doing the learning. The Gemara said, Habakatan Habagadol. Reb Meir was allowed to learn from Acher because he was a gadol. So why doesn't Shulchan Aruch say that if you're a gadol, you're allowed to learn from someone who's a bad rabbi? Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention it. So says the Shach, two possible answers. First of all, he says it could be that there's no such thing as a gadol anymore. That a gadol was the likes of Rebbe Meir. We don't have the likes of Reb Meir anymore. And in fact, already the Balei HaTosfos assume that we don't have the likes of Reb Meir anymore who can learn from such a person and know what to take and what not to take. That's answer number one. The Shach says in Sifkatan Ches. Second answer the Shach quotes is that when the Gemara said that Rabbi Meir held that since he's a gadol he's allowed to learn, the Gemara says Rabbi Meir kra ashkach v'darash, that Rabbi Meir himself found the pasuk and darshan this pasuk. The implication of saying that Rabbi Meir found the pasuk and darshan this pasuk is that this was Rabbi Meir's shita. Personally, he held that he was allowed to learn from Acher. But that doesn't mean we paskin like Rabbi Meir. We paskin against Rabbi Meir, maybe. Just because he was Rabbi Meir, Krash Kachbadar, sounds like it's a Das Yachid. But we don't paskin that way. We paskin that we're not allowed to learn from such people. Rav Avadia has a tshuva in Yabi Omer Chelek Zayin Yordea Simin Yotes, where he says he doesn't buy that second answer. He doesn't think that that's correct. Because he says that Diuk is not at all Mukhrach. We have a few places in Shas where we use the lashon of Kra Ashkach Vidarish, and we actually paskin that way. One is coming up soon in the Daf Yomi, Sukkot Daf Nun Beis. The other one is Bab Basra Daf Tzadi, when it says Ein Mosifin Alamidos Yosef Mishtus, and the Gemara says Shmuel Kra Ashkach Vidarish, and the Rambam in the 8th paragraph of Vilchus Geneva paskins it. So sometimes you do have the lashon of Kra Ashkach Vidarish, have a single Amora, found the pasuk and darshan it, and that's actually the halacha. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a Das Yachid and that we don't paskin that way. But be that as it may, the Shach says, for whatever reason, Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, do not quote this chilik, and therefore we don't learn from such people. Now, a couple of additional points to add over here. Rav Moshe in a tshuva, I don't remember which volume of Yaradeh it is. I think it's Yaradeh Chilik Beis, maybe. It's in Simon Kuf Ches. It's on page Kuf Pei in whatever volume it is. I photocopied it, but I forgot to write down which volume it is. Rav Moshe discusses whether you can have someone who held a position in a conservative shul, who was a rabbi of a conservative shul, or a chazan in a conservative shul, whether such a person could be a shochet, whether such a person could be trusted in a position of srara in halacha. So he says, v'zev vaday shel yosdorei shu magid shir hu od garua d'yesh lacha sheidrosh divrei dofi v'yigal apadim shalok halacha. Certainly to have such a person give shiurim is absolutely off the table. You cannot even entertain that possibility, because you have to assume that he might say things shalok halacha. And then he says va'afilu k'she'ein lacha shlozeh, even if there's no reason to assume that he's going to say something that's against the halacha, the Gemara talks about a Talmud Chacham that the Rabbanan need him. They need his Torah. Don't look for Torah from such a person. Now, what are we talking about, says Rav Moshe? We're not talking about someone who's going to say wrong Torah. We're talking about someone who's going to say the right things. Sricha le Rabbanon means the Rabbanon need him because of his expertise, and they trusted that he was saying the right things, that he was saying Torah accurately. But still, you're not allowed to be Mavakish Torah from such a person. So that's Rav Moshe's Ha'ara, that even if he teaches accurately, you're not supposed to learn from such a person. Rav Moshe also says, as we pointed out, that you have to be concerned that the Torah that such a person is going to teach isn't going to be given with the same COVID rosh, with the same seriousness that that Torah should be given. Sometimes, just with slight nuances of language, a person will refer to Torah and to Chazal in a mocking tone, and that could change the whole picture of how you of how the Talmidim view the Torah. So Rav Moshe is very much against this. Now, the Debrit Sina Rav in the Tshuva, and again, I don't know what chalak it is because I forgot to write it down, but in one of the chalakim in the Tshuva's Bar Moshe, the Debrit Sina Rav in Simon Gimel, I believe it is. Yeah, and Simon Gimel in one of the volumes of Be'er Moshe says, and what about in writing? What about if the Torah is only in writing? What about learning it from books? So he says you shouldn't do that either. Why? Two reasons. Two reasons not to learn from books that were written by bad people. He says, first of all, you might be very impressed by the author, and you're going to want to learn more about the author, and you're going to want to follow the ways of that author, because you're going to read the book and you say, this guy's great, and you're going to want to be more like him or connect to him. Second, and that's a natural desire that a person has. When you learn Torah from somebody, you want to be able to connect to that Rebbe, right? That's why people who give shiurim online and never met half the Talmidim that they have across the world, he speaks to Rabbi Rosner, he gets emails from all over the world. People just, they want to connect. They want to connect to the person that they're learning Torah from. That's a natural thing for a person to want to do, to connect to the Rebbe that he's learning from. Even Rabbi Eimer, no longer alive, Rav Soloveitchik used to describe how in his shiurim he always felt like the Shach was sitting next to him and Rabbi Kiveger was sitting next to him. You want to connect to the people that you're learning Torah from. So that's number one. Second reason, he says, is that we don't know that we're necessarily going to be able to weed out all of the bad things from the books. It might seem harmless. It might seem like, it's just a good book. It has everything that you need. You know, it has nice Torah in there. But there might be hidden messages there that are going to somehow have an impact on us that we're not going to be sensitive enough to be able to weed out those messages. So for those two reasons, the Debrit Sina thought that even from books, it would be a problem. Now, certainly, L'chora, this is not only for Piskei Halacha. This is for Divrei Torah also. One of the people who did something terrible, one of my Talmidim told me, he asked Rav Moshe Weinberger what to do with this person's Divrei Torah. Rav Moshe Weinberger, he said he had these beautiful Divrei Torah in the Parsha, whatever. Rav Moshe Weinberger told him, put them away and never look at them again. That's off limits. You don't want to be impressed by this. You don't know what's in there. Just put it away and never look at it again. Okay, so what's the approach to the halacha? So it seems, as far as I know, that anything new, to learn anything new from someone who we already know is a bad guy or has done very bad things, that's off limits. Meaning, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. If he's gone in a derech latov, you don't look for Torah from such a person. How do we relate to past Torah that we learned from such a person? So I had a few conversations recently with my Rebbeim, and someone else told me he had a conversation with Rav David Feinstein, and each of them had different approaches. Rav Mordechai Willig, Rav Mordechai Willig said that in a recent case that we had in the community, he said, certainly don't learn anything new from him. You shouldn't go and try to study from him. He says, on old things, he says, it depends what the inyan was. Let's say, Lamashal, it's a person who was nichshel in dine mamonos. So don't listen to anything he ever taught you about dine mamonos. But it's things he taught you about Hilchos Kashrus. Why would he lie to you about Hilchos Kashrus? That you could rely on. If it was a person who was nichshel l'mashal in issues of women. So don't listen to anything he said in Hilchos Nida, in Hilchos Ishus, and anything like that. But if it's something that he taught you in Dine Mamonos or in Hilchos Kashrus or whatever, so that you're allowed to, Hilchos Shabbos, that you're allowed to listen to. That was Rav Willig's approach. Rav David Feinstein told a good friend of mine that when it's an issue of a Yetzer Hara, of just a normal Yetzer Hara that got the best of a person who is otherwise a knowledgeable person, he just couldn't control his Yetzer Hara, he didn't think that you have to assume that which he taught you was inaccurate. He said you certainly shouldn't go and continue to ask the person Shailas. Certainly that shouldn't be your address to ask Shailas to or to discuss anything in whatever you should to get guidance from. But in terms of what you've learned in the past, you can assume that if he taught Chassan classes, let's say, and he himself was Nichshal in women, women related issues, you could assume that whatever he taught you was accurate. That was Rav David Feinstein's approach. Rav Schechter, Rabbi Rav Schechter, had an entirely different approach, and I know I'm way over the 10 minutes here, but I think in order to understand Rav Schechter's approach, I think it's an important approach to understand. We just need to take a few minutes to give a little bit of the background to this approach. Rav Schechter has a kuntrus in Nefesh HaRav called Be'inyane Mesorah, all about the Mesorah of Torah through the generations. One of the things he mentions is that when it comes to the concept of a Baal HaMesorah, someone who is trusted with the Torah Shebaal Peh to pass on to the next generation, the Rambam writes in the third paragraph of Hilchos Teshuva, Halacha Ches, Shlosha Heima Kofrim B'Torah, that there are three people who are considered Kofrim B'Torah. Someone who says, She'en HaTorah Me'im Hashem, V'chein HaKofer B'Perusha, someone who's Kofrim Torah Shebaal Peh, and someone who's Machish Magideha, someone who contradicts the Magidei Torah, those who were the Chazal who gave us over the Torah. So someone who says that Chazal's Hashkafos were wrong, or that their Deos were wrong, so such a person is an Apikores, and we shouldn't listen to such a person. Someone who judges Chazal in that way, we should never listen to such a person. So there is this inyan of being a Baal HaMesorah, that a person has to be worthy of being a Baal HaMesorah. The Rambam writes in his Hakdama, the Rambam writes, Kol Mitzvah Shenitnu Lo Moshe B'Sinai B'Ferusha Nitnu V'Torah V'Mitzvah Torah Zu Torah Shebichsav V'Mitzvah Uha Nikres Torah Shebal Peh V'Mitzvah Shei Perish HaTorah Lo Kasva El Tziva Bal Lezekenim Ulu Yoshua Ulishar Kol Yisrael. That when it comes to Torah Shebal Peh, Moshe Rabbeinu gave it over to the Zekenim and to Yoshua and to everybody else. Ve'Elazar V'Pinchas V'Yoshua Shloshan Kiblu Mimoshe. And Elazar and Pinchas and Yoshua all received it from Moshe. Uli Yoshua Shu Talmid Shem Moshe Rabbeinu Masa Torah Shebaal Peh V'Tzivah Olav. And Yoshua, who is the Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah Shebaal Peh. So he said, why does Rambam keep mentioning Yoshua? First he mentions Elazar, Pinchas, and Yoshua, and this gave them all together, that they all learned by Moshe Rabbeinu. And then he says, the Torah Shebaal Peh he gave only to Yoshua. Yoshua was his Talmud. What does he mean to say? Was Yoshua the Talmud, or was everybody the Talmud? So he says, what you have to say is, Rav Schechter points out, that there's a second issue over here. Granted, there were a lot of Talmidim from Moshe Rabbeinu. A lot of them learned Torah from him. But only Yoshua became a Baal HaMesorah. Only he originally got the Torah directly from Moshe as a Baal HaMesorah and became one of the Chachmei HaMesorah. Later on, the other Zekenim got from Yoshua, and that's how they became Chachmei HaMesorah as well. Learning Torah in someone's classroom does not make that person a Baal HaMesorah. Having intellectual achievement and accomplishment in somebody's classroom does not necessarily earn them the place of Chachmei HaMesorah. It's not enough to get the Torah, but you have to get the whole Hashkafas HaOlam of the Chachmei HaMesorah from a previous generation in order for one to become one of the Chachmei HaMesorah. So with all that slach in the world in terms of his intellectual accomplishments, it's not going to help. He says Rav Soloveitchik used to say a lot of times that even though he was matzliach very much in giving over Divrei Torah to his Talmidim, he sometimes felt that he wasn't as matzliach in giving over his Hashkafas HaChayim to his Talmidim. After his wife died, he was saying shiurim to a group of Talmidim in Boston, and he started teaching them the Likutei Torah, the Baal HaTanya. And he stopped after a short while. And one of the Balabatim in Boston asked him, why did you stop saying Shirim on Likutei Torah, the Baal HaTanya? So he says that he felt that the Talmidim weren't interested in it. He said, I find that the Talmidim are interested in Soloveitchik's brain, but they're not interested in Soloveitchik's heart. A very profoundly sad statement for a Rebbe to ever have to make. That he finds that he thought that the Talmidim sometimes were only interested in his intellectual greatness, but they weren't interested in what his Hashkafas HaChayim was, and what his heart was, and what his neshama was really all about. So Rav Schechter goes on to explain that the concept of Torah includes three different aspects. There's what's called Chefzo Shel Torah, to learn to be mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. We learn Chefzo Shel Torah, whatever is part of Torah. Then there's the Chovas HaGavra, to know what to do and what not to do. What's halacha says yes, what halacha says no. And that's not the same as Chefzo Shel Torah. Because let's say you learn Shitas Beis Shammai. So then you're not learning Chovas HaGavra. You're not learning what to do, because that has nothing to do with what we do. We don't pass on Beis Shammai. But it is Chefzo Shel Torah. It's not Bittul Torah to learn Shitas Beis Shammai. Right? So that's a nafkamina between the first two categories. Another nafkamina might be Dinim Drabanan. So the Chovas HaGavra on Dinim Drabanan is only a Din Drabanan. When you learn Maseches Megillah, are you being Mekayim mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah midaraisa, or you only be mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah midrabanan. So clearly you're being mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah midaraisa. So cheftza shel Torah, it's daraisa. But in terms of what to do, what not to do, when you read the Megillah, you're only being mekayim a mitzvah midrabanan. But then there's a third category, and that third category is the musag shel Torah, which means to be magdir the any other chachma. All you need is books and the intellectual knowledge, and then you get the idea. But when it comes to chachmas haTorah, there's a certain gisha, there's a certain hashkafa that a person has to have in order to achieve and in order to be considered one of the chachmei haTorah. A person can learn all the halachos in the world, but he's not one of the chachmei haTorah unless he has that hashkafa sachayim, that hashkafa of Torah as well. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Torah tziva lanu Moshe morasha, al tikri morasha elamo orasa, that Klal Yisrael has erisin with the Torah. Rav Soloveitchik said in the Hesped for his uncle that Gedolei Torah don't just have erisin with the Torah, Gedolei Torah have nisuin with the Torah, that they know when, just like a married couple, they don't even have to use words to communicate. Gedolei Torah sometimes don't even need to look at the words inside, they just have an intuitive sense of what the right halacha is going to be. They have this intuitive connection to the Torah. That idea of just, you know, li biomer li, like Rashi says in Parshas Tetzaveh. He says, lo shamati, I don't know exactly what the eifod looked like, but li biomer li. What's li biomer li? Li biomer li is this intuitive sense of Torah. So yes, Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah to Elazar and Pinchas, but he was masar the Torah to Yoshua. He was moser the Torah specifically to Yoshua. Why? Because Yoshua was misadid the safsalim. Yoshua was dedicated. He was a dedicated Talmud, and a dedicated Talmud can become one of the Chachmei HaMesora. He said, and here's the key. So Soloveitchik explained that the fact that we pass like Beis Hillel against one of the keys, that we pass like Beis Hillel against Beis Shammai. So why is it? The Gemara in Yevamos Daf Yudalit says that Beis Shammai was mechadidi tfei. Beis Shammai was much sharper, but Beis Hillel was the rove, the majority of the Talmidim. So we follow the rove, even though Beis Shammai was mechadidi tfei. So if Salvich pointed out, yeah, we'll follow the rove even against the smarter group, but that's only if the rove is at least in the same ballpark, meaning that they have to be on somewhat on the same level. But if the rove is not even part of the Chachmei HaMesora, they're not even in the same ballpark, so then it's not, you wouldn't follow the rove. Rav Soloveitchik gave an example. He said, if all the Histadrut HaRabbanim would say their shita, and Rav Chaim, his grandfather, would say his shita, so Rav Chaim obviously would be the only daya in the room. The rest of the dayos would be totally irrelevant, klape Rav Chaim. And Rav Shefta quotes from Soloveitchik another critical point, and this is most important for our topic, and that is that when a chacham gives a psak halacha, why is it that we believe him that that's the halacha? Why is it if someone, you ask a shayla, is this kosher or not kosher? And the rabbi tells you it's kosher. Why are you allowed to believe him that it's kosher? Where's your two edim that it's kosher? So a lot of times people think, oh, it must be edach hanem b'surim. That's why you're allowed to believe the rabbi. It's edach hanem b'surim. He says, no, that is not the case. Because if that were the case, then a rabbi would not be allowed to pask in an aguna shayla. It's a davar shabierva. In davar shabierva pachas mishnayim. Or he wouldn't be able to be matir something connected to cheskas isser. When you have a cheskas isser, you need shnei edim. You wouldn't have edach hanem b'surim. He says, no, the reason we believe someone when he issues a psak halacha, Rav Shechter writes b'shem Rav Soloveitchik, is because when someone is one of the Chachmei HaMesora, that's what gives him the ne'emanus to continue to give the Mesora down to other people. The Gemara in Nida raises the question, if a woman comes with a maradam and she says, Kazeh ti arish ploni chacham, that I've seen this maradam before and a certain chacham was said it's tahar in the past. So can we trust her on that? The Gemara says we go l'chumra. So Soloveitchik says, what do you mean? Aid mi piyed is neman bi isurim. When you say eidach neman bi isurim, even aid mi piyed works. So why can't we trust her? Why are we going to be machmir? So this is because it's this idea that only a bal hamesora is trusted. So when someone says something in the name of the bal hamesora, but the person who's saying it in the name of the bal hamesora is themselves not one of the bal hamesora, then mele they can't be trusted. We assume they didn't understand what the bal hamesora said. We assume that they didn't know what the person was even talking about when they were quoting the bal hamesora. He says, if you look at Maseches videos where you have the edus of chacham after chacham about what was said by earlier generations, each of the eduyos were said by Talmidei Chacham and by Balei HaMesora. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to trust it. Therefore, all of that is a long way of saying, when I asked Rav Shechter about this issue of learning the Torah from people who have done things that were bad, Rav Shechter said, if the person has proven himself not to be amongst the Balei HaMesorah, he cannot be trusted on anything. Not going forward, not going backward. You cannot trust him on anything. I said, what about all the things the person told me in the name of Gedolei Yisrael, in the name of Rav Eliashiv or whatever, in the name of various Gedolei Yisrael? He said, he cannot be trusted on anything. Not that he's lying. He probably had no idea what Rav Eliashiv was talking about, because if someone is not a Balei HaMesorah, then we assume that they don't have the ability to be Ne'eman about anything that was said at all. A lot of times you say over Rav Shechter Shita, just don't trust him on anything. Well, how does that make any sense? But you have to have this background, this appreciation of what it means to be a Balei HaMesorah. So those are the three basic approaches that I've seen written up, from discussions with my Rebbeim, Rav Willig, who said you could trust him on anything that wasn't the area where he struggled, where he suffered. He probably would not say that about an apikores. An apikores would probably be different, but at least in terms of people who have done averos, anything that's outside of the area of his avera, you could trust him. Going back, again, nothing going forward. Rav David Feinstein said you could trust him on everything going back, just don't learn from him going forward. And Rav Shech said don't trust him on anything, not going back, not going forward, don't use his farm, don't use anything from that person. He said, listen, if the person gave Eitzah Tova, you know, he gave some good advice, so good advice you could trust from anybody, meaning a Goyish psychologist gives good advice, and that works too. That's okay also. So if he had, or if he tells you that a Gemara says something, so look up the Gemara. If the Gemara Taka says it, so good. So then you have the Gemara that says you don't have to ignore all the Gemaras that the person ever taught you, or all the halachas and shulchan aruch, if you could verify it on your own. But anything that's his own, you shouldn't trust at all. Just a word of caution to conclude with, and that is that I don't think I can call this 10-minute halach anymore. But a word of caution. The one can take this too far. It is possible that a person will say, "Oh, so someone is not a Balei HaMesorah, or someone is someone that I don't agree with, and therefore anyone I don't agree with should not be trusted at all for anything." There are just to give an example. There are a couple of tshuvas in the Be'er Moshe, the Deber Tzina Rav. One tshuva he has in Siman Kuf Lamed Beis. Again, I don't know what volume it is because I just photocopied it. I forgot to check the volume. Nishalti miish yarei v'charid l'dvar Hashem ishori l'lios mashgiach etzal achevra ou. Is a person allowed to be a mashgiach by the OU? So why not? Why can't you be a mashgiach by the OU? He said, Chas v'shalom, this person would never eat from the hashkacha of the OU. It's not a hemesha hashkacha. So is he allowed to work for them? And is he allowed to be a mashgiach by the OU? So the Deber Tzina writes, Chalila lo tia kazos bi Yisrael. God forbid he should never be a mashgiach by the OU, because the rabbanim in the OU, they're not the old style rabbanim, shebesam kebes Yisrael anemel Hashem ul'tarasav, whose houses are like the houses of people who are trustworthy servants of Hashem, below television, below begadim kitzarim lenashim, without TVs in their house, without women wearing short clothing, unikim abatimi magazinin, and their houses are clean from magazines, uchiyotzibem, vehem rabbanim impeos harosh, vizakin kitzuris rabbanim idara yashim lo midara chadash. And rabbanim should look like rabbanim should look, and not like this new generation rabbanim. So, you know, you could take this a little far, obviously. You see, the Bertina took it to a certain extent, whereas, okay, if a person has a magazine in his house or whatever, a person doesn't have a long beard, a person doesn't have a long face, so all of a sudden, so you can't trust anything he says or anything he does. He has a similar tshuva where he talks about, tshuva I quoted before, actually, where he talks about whether you can read Svarim that were written by Tzionim. Reads from that were written by Zionists, and he says, "Chas v'shalom, how could you?" It says beferish in Shulchan Aruch, a rav that's ain't a holich b'derech tova. Even if he happens to know a lot of Torah, you're not allowed to follow what he says. He says, "L'mashal, mi sheyilmod mi sefer shemachaber rosh yeshiva be'eze yeshivas university." If you were to have someone who wrote a sefer who's a rosh yeshiva in some sort of yeshiva university, v'yir rov b'kiusa b'torah, and you see that he's actually a baki in Torah, chas Shalom Yomer Bevadai Shari Lios Mimechancha Yeshiva University. You're going to come to think that you're allowed to teach there, and then you're going to think that you're allowed to learn there, and it's going to lead to all sorts of terrible things like that. So he says, I absolutely can't do that. So again, I'm just trying to. I'm not just quoting this to mock the Deber Tzina Rav. He was a big tzaddik, just a very, very different hashkafas hachayim than we have. But just to show that there are limits, meaning not everyone who disagrees with you a little bit to the right or a little bit to the left is automatically someone that you say, okay, he's off limits, can't learn anything. So when we talk about Sunni Shemane, we talk about someone who's holich b'derech lo tov, he's going in a bad path, who has a bad reputation. We're talking about someone who's disgraced. We're talking about a disgraced person, not a person who just happens to not have exactly the same hashkafos as we may have. Okay.